Troy Rake. Troy joins us right now. Troy is of Denver 7, presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. Okay, Troy, you know, when I listen to Nathaniel Hackett speak, and you always ask the thoughtful questions, and I appreciate you kind of making him think about some stuff. But I want you to try to ask him this, or maybe give me your thoughts on this, because he's talked about the injuries and how crazy it is and how unprecedented it is that all these injuries are happening. At the same time, his whole imperative from day one was to prevent injuries, from to try to keep guys as healthy as possible. So I wonder, do you think talking to the guy and being around him and being able to be to ask him some questions, if he's going to self-reflect and look back on his process and the practices, for example, and lack of playing in preseason and lack of developing the callus as being the reason why these guys got so injured?
Well, I do know they're having those evaluations right now, and I would be shocked if there's not changes at the end of the season beyond just the coaching staff. And I'm not blaming, assigning blame to anyone, but there was just a disconnect. If you don't play guys in camp and the priority is health, you also have to align that with the way you practice. And sometimes during the year, you know, there's been players, you know, disappointed slash upset with the way they've been practiced after, you know, the lead up to it, if that makes sense. And again, these are grown men. Availability is a skill. You have to stay healthy. But Hackett was adamant that his experience from watching his father lose Chad Pennington with the Jets years ago and watching how the Packers did it shaped his decision. Nate, the problem was here, he wasn't inheriting a team that was a Super Bowl favorite like the Packers. These guys, we all kind of thought, needed reps, and especially Russell Wilson in that first game going to Seattle. I'd asked him that multiple times, you know, don't you need to hear him in the headset and do these things and, you know, have him out there? And they were convinced no. So I don't know how you couldn't look back at it, because not only has it been a mistake, but it's been, you've been the most injured team. And now some of that's bad luck. Let's be honest here. Let's be fair. But I can't see how you would go back into a year or two and say, oh yeah, we're going to do this exactly the same, because not only did it not work, it failed in every way imaginable.
Troy, the Broncos offense under Kubiak's play calling looks different. There were multiple tight end sets, a lot more under center, a little bit more run to this last game. Yet still, the offense didn't really sniff the red zone. There was the three McManus field goals, one from the 24, one from the 33, one from the 35. So while the offense seems to be coming around to what we would think of as what this offense was supposed to look like, the lack of success still remains. Is there another page to turn to try to improve this thing?
Well, it's third down. They're terrible on third down. They've been under 30% for weeks. They've been among the league's worst team on third down essentially since the second game of the season. Some of that's weapons. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say they have this arsenal of guys. When Sutton went out, I mean, and Jerry Jeudy was on a play count, there were third downs where they had Brandon Johnson, Jalen Virgil, Montrell Washington, and Greg Dulcich. I mean, that's what you would see in training camp and or, you know, the last preseason game. So that's part of it. But as you guys know, in the NFL, nobody cares. 90% of the people don't care about your problems. The other 10% are glad you have them. There's no sympathy for it. So you have to figure out a way. And they've done some good things with the run game. They've done some good things with heavy personnel and keeping Russell under center. And then the kind of the final layer of that is third down. How do you convert on third down? How do you find matchups on third down that work? And they have not done that. And, you know, Clint Kubiak, that was the one problem he had last year in Minnesota. As a play caller, I think they were 12th in yards and scoring. They were near the bottom on third down. And that's where you make your money in the NFL as play callers and quarterbacks, is third down in the red zone. And twice since they've got back from London, they haven't even reached the red zone. They didn't reach the red zone against the Titans. They didn't reach the red zone last week. They've had three touchdowns since London. They've had five games where they've had 10 points or fewer. I mean, you just cannot be this historically bad offensively. It doesn't make sense. Now, because every team gets hurt. It's one thing to get hurt and, you know, score 17 points a game. To be down to 13-8, I mean, that's the only other team like that in Broncos history was a 1966 team. And that team still had the caricature horse on the side of the helmet. Mm.
Troy, you get a new, unique opportunity each and every week because you get to go to these games. Everybody after a game could be all buttoned up and, you know, hey, you know, I'm heading to the media. I got to go address the media. And, you know, some guys could sit there and answer questions in the locker room or not. But typically we hear a lot of guys at the podium, right? And that's where we get our sound from. Each and every week, people ask me, have the Broncos hit rock bottom? Have the Broncos hit rock bottom? We saw it against Carolina, and now this past week, two takeaways, plus two in the takeaway column. Defense holds a team to 10 points, and yet they still find a way to lose. So my question to you was, how was the locker room right after that loss? What did you notice in there?
Well, the difference in this locker room was there's resignation and acceptance in a way that, like, we can't do anything about it now. Like, the anger and friction I saw after the Chargers loss in L.A. was real. You know, whether you say it's defense versus offense, whatever, the anger in there and the animosity in there over the loss, just the friction was real that night. The loss in Charlotte was embarrassing. But this, when they lost this one, it was more like, this is who we are. All their goals are no longer in front of them. Oh, and I hate to say it this way, but it's like when I covered baseball, when your team gets out of it, baseball in so many ways is an individual sport. So you just go get your own stats and try to do what's best for you. And in doing that, you hope it's best for the team. Now, guys would never say this, but that's what I saw. And the defense basically said, hey, we should have been perfect. It's our fault. We should have stopped them on that last drive. It wasn't this, even privately, like, well, they only scored 9 points because that's what their offense is. Like, that's what I'm seeing. There's almost resignation. It wasn't like, oh, you know, our offense just had a bad game. It was like, this is who their offense is. Literally every player I talked to in the locker room used the word, we know we have to be perfect defensively. If we're not, we're going to lose. That's on us. And it was an interesting way to embrace it. So it kind of keeps you from going crazy and being so upset, but it also signals all your goals are gone. I mean, that's the sad part about it is you're barely into December and you've got no chance to do anything.
Troy, I want to shift gears a little bit to see you. Coach Prime, in his opening press conference, introduced his son as your starting quarterback. Do you think that means he's not going to recruit other quarterbacks or look to upgrade that position? And do you portend that to be an issue as we go forward?
Well, it can be uncomfortable. I mean, I coach my own kids in sports, and the hard part is you want your kid to either be the best player on the team or the worst, because when they're in the middle, every parent feels like their kid's better than your kid. In the case of Shadur, it's different than Dan and Cody Hawkins, because Shadur is an NFL prospect. Cody Hawkins was not. And I've heard he was a great guy, but the reality was it looked like at times during Hawkins coaching Hawkins that he was doing things specifically to get his kid stats and inflate his kid's stats. And I think it was the Kansas game where they kept throwing to get his son stats, where they ended up losing the game because they kept stopping the clock. That's where it gets greasy. But in the case of Shadur, he is such a tremendous upgrade over anything they've had in recent years, with all due respect to Steven Montez, that I don't think it's an issue. It is an issue of recruiting a quarterback, no doubt. So you're looking for that three-star who's going to come in and be a backup who needs a developmental year. But you need to have at least one guy, because guys typically don't stay healthy a whole season. It's just Coach Prime's not messing around. This is what he does. I know some of it's tough love. You know, I know people are talking about the scene where he addressed those players about the transfer portal, and I've had kids go through college sports, and it's hard, and you hate to see kids put in that position. I'd rather it not be on video, but the message is real. I mean, from D2 baseball to NAI baseball, all these sports I've been familiar with my kids, kids get cut all the time. They force them out. I mean, they just tell them, we don't want you here. You get off the bus after your last game. Come meet me. Okay, you're done. Scholarship pulled. So it's not that unique in college sports. It's the hard part of the business. But I think when people see Shadur play, they will understand why he said he's your quarterback, because he's a legitimate pro prospect.
Love it. Thank you, Troy. Appreciate you joining us, man.
Thanks, Troy.
You got it, guys. Have a great show.
See you, Troy.
That's Troy Rank at Denver 7, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.